HIV is not a death sentence. This week, we've been focusing on AIDS as we mark the 30-year anniversary of the disease. There is a huge stigma on the disease, creating an environment of fear for many survivors of HIV/AIDS. And that stigma is unfounded and, quite frankly, ignorant. People with the disease live healthy, productive lives. If you were standing next to someone who was HIV positive, you likely wouldn't even be able to tell. And to help blow that stigma out of the water, I want to introduce you now to Alexander Smith. He is 37 years old. He's a therapist and licensed clinical social worker for the state of Utah. Alexander is also HIV positive. He contracted the virus about 8 years ago. He also developed a website, blessthisvirus.com. And he joins us live now from Salt Lake City, Utah. Alexander, thanks so much for coming on the show. I want to start with how you contracted HIV.
Welcome to Viral Mindfulness, the podcast. I'm your host, Alexander Bluefeather. Today's the day. It's my HIV diagnosis day anniversary, 2003, 21 years ago. Happy HIV birthday to me. Happy HIV birthday to me. Sad HIV birthday. I'm 21. I'm an adult. I'm fully legal. Lethal with kindness, blue presence, cheer. It's so nice to be at this point in my life. And so here it is. It's the end of my day on March 17th, Sunday, 2024. So you're probably seeing this on Monday morning, and it's probably even cataloging at March 18th. I'm winding down for the weekend. I took a long nap this afternoon, and I wanted to just share a few words. I was looking at this CNN interview, and I was like, what? This is so crazy. So that was in 2011. It's about a 4-minute interview. If you want to watch it, I'll drop the link in the show notes. You can go to blessyourvirus.com and it will redirect you to my website with a copy of the interview from CNN. And very interesting. A lot of things moved into place because of that interview. Yeah. And so I wanted to just say hello. I wanted to let you know that spring is coming. The first day of spring is Tuesday, March 19th. And that's my new year. And so I'm really leaning into New Year's with the rhythm of spring. And I wanted to read something to you that I found related to HIV. It's called A Pause in Decades. And of course, I spell that with P-A-U-S-E, pause. And of course, you could also, you know, if somebody who's HIV positive, I'm pause, I'm P-O-Z, they shortened up with a Z, I'm pause, a pause in decades as well, spelt that way. And even still, here we are at 21 years, and I'm so grateful that I have stayed with the fire and flame and movement and momentum of life. And I'm so grateful that I didn't contract the virus 10 years earlier in 1993. I probably wouldn't be alive. The cocktail, which came in around 97, it was made available to the public around that time, 97, 98. And that was the life-saving combination that moved people from dying and kept them living with HIV. So I'm so grateful to be alive, and I'm so grateful that I have made it through some of the unknown trauma in my life, specifically with being a queer human growing up in a very religious culture and family where that religion does not support queer life. You can say what you want, and that's fine, but it's much bigger than loving and being nice to people. It's a problem, and I'm so grateful I found my way out of religion. I'm so grateful that I found my way out of addiction. I'm so grateful that I have access to healthcare and the cocktail that keep me with a fairly normal immune system and 21 years. So here we are. And I wanted to read you something because I found this, this really beautiful. It's just a couple minutes. It's about 3 minutes because it's called The Dime Story. So in maybe, let's see, it would have been at year 10. So it would have been in 2013. Yeah, so I was approaching year 10 with living with HIV, and I was freshly new in Southern California. I had just jumped from my career as a social worker, and I landed in Southern California, and a lot of things didn't work out the way that I had thought. Or I was writing in a small writing group, and this one woman was preparing for a dime story. It's a national writing sort of organization. You write a dime story that's 3 minutes long, and then you record them and they read them live. In fact, let me pull that up on the interwebs. Okay, I'm here. So I'll also include these items at blessyourvirus.com. It will redirect you so you can watch the CNN interview. It will also show you some photos from this event that I did a keynote speech at Salt Lake Community College in 2011. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And then I'll put this dime story stuff. So here's what dime stories. Since before 3 minute fiction on NPR, dime stories have been heard at open mic events around the country where some are recorded and some have been optioned for podcasts and public radio. Dime stories are 3 minute stories, prose, not poetry, read by the author. They're funny, they're heart-wrenching, fictional or factual, they're always true. Founded by novelist Amy Wallen, Dime Stories is now managed by Carrie Danielinson, a writer living in Julian, California. Carrie and the entire Dime Size staff is run on 100% volunteer power. Our MCs are lovers of writing, of concise stories, of 3 minute prose. Our curators, advisors, MCs, and even our beloved Dime Stories are published authors who give it their time to help raise the bar on the tiny stories. Fun. So this is what I wrote. Someone else in my writing group was writing one, and I thought, I'm going to try it. And so I went, I wrote something within like 36 hours, went to Laguna Beach, went to the event, paid the whatever, $10, read, and I ended up winning third place. And so I'm searching my name right now, Alexander Smith, in the Dime Stories website, and I see Best of March 2013 from Laguna Beach, Alexander Smith, A Pause in Decades. Oh my gosh, there's probably a recording.
She calls herself Christmas Carol.
Oh my gosh,
she
there is.
She fell in love with karaoke during grief group after her husband died.
Oh my gosh, there it is. Okay, so I'm going to read it for you. Are you ready? So here is my Dime Stories presentation. 3 minutes. A Pause in Decades. She calls herself Christmas Carol. She fell in love with karaoke during Greep Group. Greep Group. Action, take two. She fell in love with karaoke during Greep Group after her husband died. We sat across from each other at dinner one night, surrounded by family and fish tacos. My conversation dived deep into a pool of victim and doubt. This is a woman intimate with love and loss, who believes life is better when we make more meaningful moments with others. And in her mild Oklahoma City accent, she threw my sinking mood a life vest. I don't feel sorry for you, Alexander. You are wearing cashmere. She knows me well. Cashmere is my favorite fiber. I consider myself somewhat of a cashmere whore. It is warm, lovely, and luxurious, fine in texture, strong, light, and soft. I write a column called Cashmere Sex. It is a place to have fierce conversations about our relationships, bodies, sex, and viruses, to make them beautiful and luxurious like cashmere. 10 years ago, on St. Patrick's Day, I received what felt like some very unlucky news. I was handed three letters, HIV, with a diagnosis and story that interrupted my life like a giant hiccup. It's like a dream. Even a surprise every year as St. Patrick's Day approaches, I used to find myself consumed with a cocktail of winter inversion and desperate thoughts of spring, wondering if I should throw myself a party, down an entire bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label, curse the gods or my mortality. 30 million people have died from AIDS since the beginning of this epidemic. 34 million people worldwide currently have HIV/AIDS, and roughly 20% of those are on a life-saving cocktail. I am one of the lucky ones. And last week, the second person, a child, was cured of HIV. There are millions of unmedicated people living with HIV who will die of AIDS unless they are offered medication or a cure. I'll offer you the numbers in a minute of the current 2024. Back to the reading. Next Sunday is the completion of my first decade living with the virus. And this year I find myself floating in an ocean of gratitude and cashmere, compelled to pause between decades. Stop. Stay. Linger, rest, and tarry. To sit with the discomfort of my disease, this human life, and our inevitable death. I believe there is fertile soil and much life between the extremes of negative and positive, life and death, male, female, saint and sinner. So while I hope for a cure with my cashmere scarf, I see a space in the middle, open, free, neutral, undetectable. A juicy plot of land where I have learned that love is the strongest medicine. My aspiration is that we remove the condoms we wear on our hearts and spread more love, compassion, kindness, and equality. Ooh, fun. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, there you go. There's my dime story. So here are the stats. I just looked them up. So now it's gone from 30 million, so more than 40 million people have died from AIDS since the beginning. 39 million people worldwide have HIV/AIDS, and upwards of 76% of people now have access to HIV meds. That's awesome. That has gone up in the last 11 years. And then here's another statistic. This is interesting. So the WHO African region remains most severely affected. So in Southern Africa, nearly one in every 25 adults is living with HIV, and this is accounting for more than two-thirds of the people living with HIV worldwide. Interesting. Well, thanks for listening to that. It's really fun to revisit that. And so I made reference to this landing page at my site. I'll put the link in the show notes. I also, in 2011, the CNN interview was in June, and in December 1st of that year, World AIDS Day, I did a keynote speech at Salt Lake Community College. I had resigned from my position working in counseling services, and I was hired by one of the student service departments to be the World AIDS Day keynote speaker. So you'll see some pictures from my speech there as well. And in fact, I'm wearing nothing but short shorts and this red piece of fabric doing this modern dance piece to just demonstrate and show my body to people to help eliminate stigma. I only gave this speech once in this manner, and I had every hope and intention of becoming an HIV/AIDS speaker and advocate, and things didn't play out that way. And here I am in a much different place, and I surrender to the flow, and I'm really happy about where my life is and where I'm growing and what I'm contributing, including this podcast. I also make reference to this column, Cashmere Sex. I only wrote a few, like maybe four different pieces. It was in the early days, 2012, of it was an online news HubSpot from Salt Lake, and I was writing this column about HIV and AIDS, and I was trying to be all Sex in the City about it. Cashmere Sex. So interesting. I love seeing how we have ideas, and over time, those ideas grow, they move and shift, they die sometimes, and new ideas and blossoms and threads grow. So I do want to just say a couple things. I tried not to prepare this, and so I'm going to just try and like speak from the heart and not give you pat answers. And so if I were to be answering the question, you know, what have I learned in 21 years? I would say it's so hard to pin that down to any one specific idea or avenue. I just know that there have been so many layers, and then there have been so many different moments, ups and downs, so much of a process to get to this point. And ultimately, bottom line, as I had already mentioned, I'm just so grateful that I have the ability to take medication. And it wasn't always the case for me. There was a year period where I was off medication. I took a structured treatment interruption. I told my doctor, but she wasn't going to fight me on it. And this was, you know, in 2007. So this was just, you know, 4 years, 4.5 years into it. And I was also using drugs and really experimenting for the first time with lots of drugs. But it was important for me to set my path. And she was supportive. And at some point over that year, I had developed AIDS, which means that my immune system had dropped. The T cells had dropped below 200. And in fact, that's still the level. A CD4 count less than 200 means one with HIV has AIDS, which stands for autoimmune deficiency syndrome. And in that, you're at risk for catching opportunistic infections. I didn't have any infections. I did have a rash that started showing on my face, and it was my bestie, John Harvey Cates, who noticed and called out and looked online, and he's the one that can, well, we were close friends, and we were developing, it was the first year of our friendship, 2008. And he's like, I think you have AIDS, Alexander. And it's so great to have awesome friends in your life who have the courage to speak truth. So, yeah. And then I was, you know, tested my numbers. I went to see my doctor again. I got back into treatment, and I really was able to embrace and surrender to the reality and to the gratitude of being able to have medication. So it's hard to say, oh, I've learned this, I've learned that. I think that disease and our body is one of the longest, if not the longest relationship we have over a lifetime, me and my body. It's here until I die and separate from it. And it's such a all-encompassing relationship. And I feel like HIV and AIDS, and then, you know, further decision-making by me and also not by me to develop an addiction and propensity to drugs and the unresolved trauma and pain in my life. Unfortunately, I was able to find a way out of that with the help of other addicts and alcoholics, with the help of a power greater than me, a divine creative intelligence that I love to refer to as Moana. She stands on the edge of the water. And I put effort in and I don't give up. I begin again and I feel like the healing is always in our return day by day in that beginning again. And I feel like I remember reading a quote by Martin Luther King that said that his suffering, there were two things you could do with your suffering. You could let it, I'm paraphrasing now, consume you. There was also a lyric from a musical where the character was singing, "Don't let my sorrow make evil of me." And I know I had so much sorrow and suffering around getting HIV and contracting it and becoming one who lived with it, and what it meant for me on an internalized judgment within me coming from the religious trauma that was my experience. As if they were scarlet letters, I was being punished for breaking the commandments of God. So, that was another phrase I worked with. My scarlet letters, HIV, and then AIDS, AIDS. I didn't have just one scarlet letter, like Hester Prynne, right? Not Esther from the Scarlet Letter, Hester Prynne. So I could probably just sit and talk in your ears, and I will stop here because I appreciate your presence here at the podcast. And I've talked about this before. You can search the podcast and find a couple other episodes about HIV and AIDS. So I really want to just remind you that spring is coming, and in that, remind you that you are each on your own path. And I'm learning and witnessing in my own life how it has taken time to transition from my career into a new one. It has taken time to build viral mindfulness, my wide circles. It has taken time to learn how to paint and eventually figure out how to sell my paintings. And so I'm so thrilled that I have continued to return and put the effort into the places that really matter to me, and to take the time to identify that. And so maybe this spring, as you start spring cleaning and leaning into the new season, maybe you take a little time to write, to carve out some time to collage, to sort of vision board the things that matter to you, the places you want to start focusing on. I've done that so many seasons of my life, and it's so helpful to know what you're working on and why you're working on it. And so I wish you all the very best to your spring equinox, and I will see you very soon right here, right back here at the podcast. And if you wanted to do me a favor, you could push the button where you're listening to the podcast, and you could subscribe or follow, hit the check mark, the plus sign, add it to your queue. And if you're on Apple products, if you're on the Apple podcast app, it would be amazing if you were to write a short review. You just have to pop down and scroll down, and you could hit 5 stars. If this resonates and you appreciate it, and leave a few words about my podcast, it's really helpful for the podcast algorithms to have people leave a comment, leave a review, a testimonial. And and if you aren't able to, I totally get it. There's a lot of places to put your time. So sending you all my love. I'll see you next time.